Now, it's a privilege to be up here tonight for the preaching of the gospel. As Leonard says, it's a message of the love of God. Just going to read one verse initially, and then we'll refer to lots of other verses as we go along. It's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18. First Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us that are saved is the power of God. That's for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us that are saved is the power of God. Now we do know that God will bless the reading of his word tonight. Tonight I'm going to focus on this one verse. As I say, we'll refer to different verses as we go through. I'm going to consider this verse part by part, and not quite word by word. So, first of all, I want to think about the very first word in the verse, for the preaching of the cross, for. Now, to give you a bit of background to this particular chapter, in this particular book, the Apostle Paul is speaking to the church at Corinth, and he's really rebuking them because they thought they were wise, rather than following the Lord Jesus, they were following different camps, different well-known apostles at that time, the Apostle Peter, Apostle Paul himself, and another preacher called Apollos. And really, they thought they were wise. But what Paul is really explaining in this passage is that the gospel is not according to the wisdom of men. It's of a different order altogether. It's the wisdom of God. And that's the background to this particular verse. And he says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us that are saved, is the power of God. Now, it says for the preaching. Now, I had a look at this word preaching, and it really means something said, reasoning, communication. That's the basic meaning of this word preaching. If you come along here every week, you'll hear preaching of the gospel, but every day, really, we're bombarded with different kinds of preaching. And if you watch television, we're bombarded by different messages all the time. Advertisements, it's bombarding us with a particular message, trying to get us to buy a certain product or to think a certain way, and magazines and so on. If we watch television and soaps and these kind of things, it's really bombarding us with a message of the norms of the society in which we live in. It's constant. Sometimes it's direct, and sometimes it's kind of indirect. We don't quite realise that we're being bombarded with this. A message that society wants us to accept, if you like. It's in music that we listen to. It's presenting a certain norm that it wants us to accept. And leaflets, internet that we go to. All these things is really seeking to preach something to us. But tonight I want to preach a different kind of message to you. I want to bring this message that's in the verse here. The preaching of the cross. That's really what I want to focus on tonight, the preaching of the cross. What is this message of the cross? I think Fraser spoke to us a few weeks ago on the cross and had lots of different headings and so on. I don't know if these were his headings, but it's still in my mind anyway. Divides history, divides humanity, divides eternity. It sounds like a Fraser sort of message, very good it was, but it's a different kind of message I'm going to bring you tonight. This message of the cross. First of all, I want to think about what is significant about the cross. You may think, well, why does the cross matter? Why did the Lord Jesus have to come to die on the cross? What makes this message of Christianity unique? The fact that a man came, a good man, as we think, and he died on a cross. What's it all about, really? The message of the cross is really that God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who's God as well. God came manifest in flesh, lived a perfect life, but came with his mission in view to go ultimately to the cross, and there he would die for our sins on the cross. I think David spoke to us about Isaiah 53 in one of the morning meetings not too long ago, and I think he was saying that it was prophesied in the Old Testament, these things that would happen about the Lord Jesus. And if you look at Isaiah 53, it details the suffering of the Lord Jesus, this Messiah that would come, who we have believed our report and so on. It tells about how the Messiah would come and suffer and ultimately die. The Jews themselves were expecting the Messiah to come to reign, to be a king. But when he came, he didn't come to be a king. He came to die. He came to die on the cross. He came to die for our sins. He came to pay the price for our sins. That's why the Lord Jesus came. I've got some verses here you don't need to turn to. I'll just read them to you. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. It says, "Who his own self," it's talking about the Lord Jesus himself, "who his own self bare our sins and his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed." So the Lord Jesus, he came, he bare our sins and his own body on the tree, which is the cross, and it's by his stripes that we're healed. And that's quoting from the prophets as well. So Jesus, he came, he died on the cross, not for his own sins, as we're going to think about it, as we consider this verse. He came to die for our sins. He took our place. He took our cross, if you like. It says it should have been there to take punishment for our own sins. There's another verse here. Again, you don't have to turn to it. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. "For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." So he made him, the Lord Jesus Christ, that's God, sent his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He was made sin, he became basically sin, and God poured on him, poured on the Lord Jesus, the punishment for every sin that will ever be committed. And that's so we can live unto righteousness. We, if we accept the Lord Jesus, we can be seen as righteous in God's eyes, just as if we never sinned, justified, and so on. So that's the message of this verse here. So I want to think about the next part of the verse now. "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness." To them that perish foolishness. So I'm going to think a little bit about this little phrase. Now some people here, perhaps most people here, will know that recently I made a little trip to Romania. And on the way, we flew from Edinburgh Airport down to Luton Airport. And the way it kind of worked out is, originally we were supposed to get down to Luton Airport at 8 o'clock in the morning. And the flight from Luton to Bucharest was meant to leave at about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. But we got an email the day before to say it had been delayed until, I think initially it said it had been delayed until about 11 o'clock or so. So myself, I went with an older chap, Gordon Miller from Winston, and we went. So obviously the day before, we can't change our flight. So we arrived 8 o'clock in the morning, and it's obviously quite a long time to spend in the airport from 8 o'clock. And when we arrived, we actually were told that the flight was delayed again, delayed until basically midnight or later than that. Eventually left it after 1 o'clock in the morning. But the point that I'm going to make here is, you might ask, how do we spend all these hours, 16 hours, in Luton Airport? Well, the answer is we found a little chapel in the airport. It's set up like a Church of England chapel. That's how it's set up, with verses on the wall and so on. But also it has material for all the different religions. And it has an arrow pointing to Jerusalem for the Jews, and it has an arrow pointing to Mecca for the Muslims. And as you can imagine, I suppose, an airport in London has lots of Muslim people working there. It's a multicultural sort of city, and there's lots of Muslims working in the airport, taxi drivers and so on. And myself and Gordon Miller, we were having a bit of rest in the airport, lying across the seats and so on. And there'd be a constant stream of Muslims coming in, constantly. We'd come in, shoes off, into the corner, and away we would go, sort of chanting away and praying to their God. But I got speaking to one of these guys, and as you can imagine, I was a bit tentative to start with, speaking to a Muslim guy, didn't want to offend him and so on. But it was him that spoke to me, actually, to start with, so a bit kind of tentative, but I got into this conversation with him. And I was trying to really get to the crux of what was the difference between his religion and Christianity, and what was the difference between his prophet compared to the Lord Jesus and so on. And it was quite... The thing that I found is that, to relate back to the verse that we're thinking about, he was really following what was foolishness. And the message of the cross that I was preaching to him was to him foolishness, because to him he saw basically the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. he saw us as being lots of different gods, and he tried to explain to me, he said, well, the difference between your religion and my religion is we just got one God, you've got lots of different gods. So I was able to explain to him that it's just one God, but Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, but different personalities, if you like, different functions, but one God. So I explained that to him, but really, it struck me really that these people were so committed really to their religion, and they were coming four times a day and pray to Allah, and all they're really praying is thanks for my family and so on. They're not saying anything sort of significant of any to do with a particular chant or anything. They're just coming, just little prayers, and they think that makes them okay with God. So I found it quite sad really, this man. But to him, the preaching of the cross was foolishness to him, and because of this, he's still perishing in his sins. This man, and other people of that religion. So I want to think now in relation to our verse. I'm going to link our verse up to another passage in the scripture, Luke chapter 24, and consider a bit about the two thieves on the cross. And I'm going to think about it in connection with what we deserved. So the two thieves on the cross with the Lord Jesus, one either side. I'm going to think about what we deserved. I'm going to think about the decision. And I'm going to think about the destination. So that's what we deserved, the decision, and the destination. Now, to one of these thieves, the preaching of the cross was foolishness. He didn't recognise that he was a sinner. He didn't recognise that he deserved to be on the cross. And my question really for you today is, if you're in the hall tonight and you're not saved, do you recognise that you're a sinner? I had an opportunity recently to speak to some people at work, and it's just people that sit beside me, my team beside me, and as you go on, you get opportunity related to speak to people, because that's actually what you do, or where you're going, so that's where you get an opportunity to tell them about the Lord Jesus, but when they ask you a bit more about it. And they were asking me really what, I think the context of it was, they were asking me what was the difference between Christianity and Jehovah's Witnesses. I think that was the context of what they were asking me at the time. So I was explaining that Jehovah's Witnesses is based on works. They've no assurance of salvation. They're just trying to work away and hoping that somehow we'll get into a kingdom. But the difference with the Christian faith, from the Bible, is that we're all sinners. And one of the girls I was speaking to, she was quite kind of struck by this, and she says, we're all sinners, and it, sort of with a sort of question mark, and she said, I'm not a sinner. I can't really replicate how she said it. She's a Geordie girl, said it in a Geordie accent. I won't try and replicate it for you, but she's quite kind of struck by it, I think. So I'd actually pray for this girl, really, that the Holy Spirit would use this. But my point here is, really, this is a starting point. We need to realise that we're a sinner. We need to have this conviction of sin. There's no way we can be saved. We can know the Lord Jesus. We can be on our way to heaven if we don't have this conviction that we're a sinner. That we're broken God's commandments. We're broken God's law. We've fallen short of God's standards. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So we're all sinners the same. People use different sort of terminology, but when I speak to people around the doors and at work and so on, they say, well, actually, I'm not as bad as this person. I'm not a big sinner. I'm just a little sinner. Or actually, I'm quite a respectable person. I try and live a good life and so on. But the Bible says that we're all the same. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So if you're in the hall tonight and you don't recognise you're a sinner, then basically you're still lost. You've still no way of being saved. You've no way of getting to heaven unless you actually come and realise that you're a sinner. That's a starting point. Conviction before God that you're a sinner. So I want to think a bit about this thief in Luke chapter 24. Now, there's two thieves, one on either side, and to summarise the story, one believes in the Lord Jesus and one rejects the Lord Jesus. And one of the thieves says, "If thou be the Christ, if thou be the Christ, save thyself and us." So he's saying, if thou be the Christ. He didn't really believe that Lord Jesus was the Christ. He's saying, save thyself and us. Well, you see, it wasn't possible for Lord Jesus to save himself and us. Someone had to pay punishment for our sin. If Lord Jesus had come down from the cross, we would still be in our sins. We'd still be sinners. Without any hope, just lost on our way to hell. So he says, if thou be the Christ. So to this thief on the cross, really the idea of Lord Jesus dying was foolishness to him. I guess he was like your Jews at that time, who were expecting a Messiah, expecting someone to come in power, I think the Jews round about the cross said, if he comes down from the cross, we'll believe him. We'll believe him if he comes down from the cross. If he comes down in great power from the cross, we'll believe that this is the one, that this is the Messiah. But as we've been thinking, if he came down from the cross, then we'll still be in our sins. He had to take our place. It was in God's eternal plan for Lord Jesus to come from heaven and to die on the cross, so that if we believed in him, we can have our sins forgiven. So he had to die, and he had to die for he's the only one that could have died for our sins, because he was a sinless, spotless Son of God. So when we think about this thief, we can think about his decision. He rejected the Lord Jesus. He said, if thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. So really, he didn't really recognise that who he was. He didn't recognise he was a sinner. He didn't recognise that he'd broken God's law, that he was there as a thief that deserved to die. But we can think also about his destination. It says in our verse, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. So this thief, he was perishing. And if we're here tonight and we're still in our sins, we're perishing. So this thief, he was perishing, and he died in his sins, so he perished. And the Bible tells us that he went to hell because he would reject the Lord. He rejected the Lord Jesus. So he was on the cross of what he deserved. He rejected the Lord Jesus. That was his decision, and his destination was hell. I want to think about the next part of the verse now. But unto us that are saved, it is the power of God. So preaching of the cross, that to them that perish foolishness, but unto us that are saved, it is the power of God. Now the question I want to ask you tonight, and I would ask you to really examine yourself before God, it's a very simple question, and it's really, are you saved? Are you saved? In the hall tonight, are you saved? Well, you might say, well, what does that mean? Am I saved? I believe it was a God. I believe that Jesus was a good man and so on. I believe that even he died for me. But my question is, are you saved? Have you accepted the Lord Jesus as your Saviour? Now, I was saved when I was just 7 years old. I came along to this hall with Mum and Dad, and I heard the gospel every week. And when I was saved, the night I was saved, I was just 7 years old, and I heard the gospel here. I don't know what the speaker spoke on specifically, or who it was or anything, but I just remember that he was talking about you had to be saved. And at that point, I really felt God speaking to me. I felt God tell me I had to be saved. And that night when I went home, house and leaving, beside of my bed, I asked the Lord Jesus just to save me. Just that simple prayer, like Peter's simple prayer when he was sinking out on the water. Just, Lord, save me. Very similar words to that. And I recognised as I was a sinner before God, and I asked the Lord Jesus to save me. So I really stress this point to you. It's not a general belief in God that can save us. It's not even a general belief that the Lord Jesus was a good man, that he came and that he died. He died for our sins, if you like. We need to believe that he died for our sins personally. We need to come to God and repent of our sins. And repent means to turn around, to change direction. And that's to repent. And then we have to put our faith in the Lord Jesus as the one that came and died for our sins and accept him as our own Saviour. At the camp where we have just been, one of the leaders, helpers, gave his testimony last night. Some people here were there. And he was talking about how he was brought up a Catholic. And he went along to the different services, but he was never encouraged to read the Bible for himself. He went along, and it was a certain service, so he didn't know God for himself. He didn't have a personal relationship with God, and his life went on really, and he got involved in all kinds of trouble, drugs and drink, and even sort of petty crime. I think he got involved with as well. And then the Lord really put across his path some Christians from Roman Road Church in Motherwell, and there he found that he had something that he didn't have, this personal relationship with Lord Jesus. We had enjoyment in things, just enjoy normal things without getting involved in all the things that he was getting involved with, drink and so on, drugs and so on. And he recognised he had something that he didn't have. And he went along there, he was invited along to hear the gospel, and I think he did a lot of course with him as well. And he came to a knowledge of Lord Jesus as his Saviour. And really, if you heard his testimony, it's really he's got this living faith, this great hope, this joy from trusting the Lord Jesus, and that's what you can have tonight. This really joy of knowing your sins forgiven, of having this personal relationship with the Lord Jesus. I won't speak for too much longer. So I'm going to think now about the other thief on the cross. So we thought about this thief that rejected the Lord Jesus, but then we've got another thief, and he actually rebuked the first thief, and he says, I'll just read you what he says. You don't have to turn to the passage in Luke chapter 24. He says, "Dost thou not fear God, seeing that thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man have done nothing amiss." So what he's saying is, we are on this cross for what we deserve. We're sinners before God. We deserve to die. But this man, the Lord Jesus Christ, he doesn't deserve to die. He's sinless. He's perfect. So he's really confessing that he's a sinner that we spoke about. He has this conviction that he's a sinner. And he prays to the Lord. He says to the Lord Jesus on the cross, he says, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." So he's confessing the Lord Jesus, that the Lord Jesus is this Messiah that's come, that he is going to his kingdom. And the Lord Jesus responds, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." So when we think about the second thief, he recognised he deserved to be punished for his sins, if you like. He made his decision to believe in the Lord Jesus, and the Lord Jesus says, "Today that thou shalt be with me in paradise. Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." So that was his destination. His destination was paradise, to be with the Lord Jesus in heaven. And if we like this second thief, if we like him, can come to Lord Jesus, confess our sins, repent of our sins, and put our faith in the Lord Jesus, then we too can be with Lord Jesus in paradise. We don't know when the Lord Jesus is going to come back again. We're thinking about that this morning, the Lord Jesus coming back again. He could come back at any time, but only for those that are Christians, only for those that have accepted the Lord Jesus as their Saviour. And if he comes tonight, we'll be with him in paradise. And if he comes tonight and if you've not accepted the Lord Jesus, then you won't be in paradise, but you'll be left here. And ultimately, you'll be in hell like your first thief. So I want to think about just really the last part of the verse, and really I'm almost finished with this message now. It says, "It is the power of God." So the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power the power of God. Now, when we think of God, we think of God as the all-powerful creator. He created all things by the word of his power. And the Lord Jesus created all things by the word of his power. Everything just came into being. It upholds the universe just with the word and the word of his power. But some things that Lord Jesus, some things that God can't do. But a message not too long ago from Scott Brooks, and he told us things that God cannot do. And one thing was God cannot lie. God cannot just forget about sins. God is completely holy. It's only by sending his son, Lord Jesus, someone had to pay that punishment for sin. And that was God's son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He came and he died for our sins at that place called Calvary. In Romans chapter 1, verse 16, again, you don't have to turn to this verse. I'll read this verse to you. It says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." So, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. It's God's means. God's all-powerful one, but he's prepared, and it's through God's power that we can know our sins forgiven. But it's the power of the cross. It's the power of his blood. And we'll sing a song shortly. And the words of it go as, have you washed in the blood of the Lamb? And it talks about the power of the blood. So the Lord Jesus Christ, he came, and because he was that sinless, spotless one, he has the power to forgive us of our sins. If we come to him as we've thought about, as a sinner, believe in the Lord Jesus, and we can have our sins forgiven. So my question really, just at the end of this message to you tonight is, there's two groups in our verse that we thought about. There's two groups. There's the them that perish and the us that are saved. So I'm looking out the hall tonight and I can see lots of people that I know to be saved. I know I've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's us that are saved. Us that are saved. And we know the Lord Jesus. We've believed in the Lord Jesus. We've accepted the Lord Jesus as our Saviour. And we know we'll be in heaven one day. But there's another group here. Them that perish. I'd ask you tonight really to examine yourself and say, are you one of the them that perish? And I'll say this kindly to you. Are you one of the them that perish? And if you are, then what you need to do is be like a second thief and realise that you deserve to be punished for your sins, to make your decision to accept the Lord Jesus and to know that your destination will be heaven. So thanks for listening to the message tonight, and I hope that you'll consider these things. So we'll just have a word of prayer, then we'll sing the words of our hymn.